This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. NPR Senior News Analyst Dan Shore joins us to talk about the driving news stories of the week. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott. And before we get into the really heavy stuff, yes. A quiz question.
Yes.
When I say 700, what comes to mind?
Well, Barry Bonds hit his 700th home run last night. I thought that fact might... I thought we might conceal that from you, You're thinking of that too.
Yes, indeed.
It was a great moment, recorded by many flashbulbs. Many flashbulbs. Let's begin by talking about the presidential race, because there are a number of new polls out and some divergent information. Recent Gallup poll shows President Bush leading Senator Kerry by 13 percentage points.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The Pew Research Center has another poll that says the two candidates are more or less in a statistical tie. New York Times CBS News poll is out this morning that says President Bush is ahead and lays out some issue concerns, let's put it that way, that people have about Senator Kerry's candidacy. What do you make about all this?
Well, it's true. The polls have been very confusing. One political maven said to me at lunch yesterday, if this election is about Bush, then Kerry wins. If the election is about Kerry, then Bush wins. The Times CBS poll that you mentioned gives Bush an 8-point lead among registered voters, even though the same poll has voters believing that America is headed in the wrong direction and Americans are distressed about the way President Bush is handling the economy. A majority of voters simply think that Senator Kerry has spent too much time attacking Bush rather than spelling out what he would do as president, and that's what I think this Times CBS poll reflects.
Mm-hmm. The controversy over President Bush's records from his time in the Texas National Guard has persisted through this week. CBS News, I guess, last Sunday unveiled some memos showing that Mr. Bush had refused to take a physical exam.
It was a weekday, but go ahead.
It was 60 Minutes, too. I beg your pardon.
Yeah.
And said superiors were prepared to sugarcoat his performance. And now the authenticity of those documents has been called into question, to the great embarrassment of CBS News.
Well, it now begins to appear that CBS was a victim of a hoax that was perpetrated by somebody who didn't like President Bush very much and who had enough familiarity with National Guard jargon and the Bush file, some of which apparently isn't there, to be able to make a reasonable facsimile of letters from the Guard commander. The man's name is Bill Burkett. He lives in Bear, Texas, not very far from the Kinkos from which the letters were transmitted to CBS. Mm-hmm. He's not talking, not to the press anyway, but that's where that stands.
Mm-hmm. And CBS is not talking, are they?
Well, we get down to a matter of sources.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how journalists, veteran journalists, feel about revealing sources.
But
I have an impression that if CBS were able to, they would be very happy to see how this all happened. But they are now stuck with a confidential source.
Mm-hmm. But isn't the old rule, if the source turns out to be untrustworthy, you are released from your agreement and you can reveal him or her?
Yeah, I think we could go over that for a long time. That maybe. I'm not sure I accept that, but I will, yes.
Okay. has the Kerry campaign at the same time benefited from the lingering questions about President Bush's National Guard service?
Not visibly. Americans are inclined generally to think that if some dirty trick has been played, it was played by the opponent. There is no sign here that the Kerry campaign, as such, had anything to do with this. But if these files reproduced real correspondence, and apparently some indication that he knew what was in correspondence that is not there anymore, it'd be interesting to know such things as why Lieutenant Bush refused to take the physical examination that his commanding officer ordered him to take and as a result had to be grounded.
Mm. I want to turn now to Iraq, because this week Secretary General of the UN Kofi Annan used the word illegal for the first time publicly to describe the war in Iraq.
Yes.
And this comes just a week before the annual meeting of the UN General Assembly. It also comes after several months where Secretary Annan had been working with U.S. and British and Polish and other officials to try and increase the UN presence in Iraq and make a transition to an elective government. What do you make about the timing of his use of this word and any implications it has for U.S. policy?
Well, there is this connection. The Bush administration is trying very, very hard to get an election organized in Iraq in January. That will be difficult at best with the current level of violence. Some whole regions are under insurgent control. If the United Nations says that this is illegal and refuses to organize or to monitor the election, which is what usually happens. Usually it's the UN involved in having these elections. Then the interim government and the United States would be in really very serious trouble there.
Do you really think that's a possibility, that the UN will refuse to participate or help supervise the elections?
The UN has already said, that the Secretariat, Kofi Annan, has already said several times that if it's too dangerous for their people to go there, they can't go.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you about events on the ground there. Insurgent violence continued. More than 250 people were killed across the country this week. Two Americans and a Briton were kidnapped in Iraq. At the same time, the violence on the ground seems to be increasingly turned toward Iraqis. We heard from a correspondent there this morning that said when barriers are set up, the insurgents will target the people who have to be on the other side of those barriers, which are almost invariably Iraqis. Mm-hmm. What do you make of what seems to be a developing strategy on behalf of the insurgents to target Iraqis?
Well, there may be more than one strategy. There may be several insurgent groups involved, some of them the Sunnis, and then there are others in the north and south. I'm not sure it is all one concerted movement, but they are very, very dangerous. There have been fewer attacks on American troops, more attacks recently, and kidnappings of people who work with the Americans, pipeline bombings. There have been people like police recruits and foreigners who have been subject to kidnappings and attack. It is obvious that the aim of the insurrection is to show that you cannot make this place run. And if they succeed in doing that, where do we go from there?
I want to ask you about Russia. President Putin announced a series of changes this week in response to terrorist attacks. He plans to put an end to the popular election of regional governors. Now, Russians will be able to vote for a party, but not a particular candidate.
Right.
Both President Bush and Secretary of State Powell expressed concern that these reforms undermine democracy in Russia. What do you think Mr. Putin's object is? What do you make of the U.S. response?
Well, I heard somebody say that Putin isn't rolling back to Soviet times. He's rolling back to the time of the czars. His latest move that you've mentioned, no more elected governors, no more independent parliament, didn't start with the massacre in the schoolroom in southern Russia. But he's taken this as an excuse to proceed further with a program on which he apparently was embarked, involving limitation of press freedoms, putting the economic oligarchs in their place in some cases being prison. And Russia has not fully emerged from the previous times, we're learning. And I don't think that the president will be looking into his soul very much soon.
United Nations called for a vote today on a U.S. resolution on Sudan that threatens sanctions against Sudan's oil industry if the Sudanese government doesn't act more aggressively to end the humanitarian crisis there and the attacks of the Janjaweed. Now, the deadline was supposed to be initially at the end of August. It has passed. People continue to die by the thousands. What do you make of the chances for a Security Council resolution occurring?
Well, the U.S. has sort of watered down its resolution in order to get the votes of Russia and China, and the chances are that they may get them and that there may be sanctions against Sudan.
And at the same time, do you think they'll be implemented in any good order?
Wait and see.
Okay. Thanks very much, Daniel Shore. Yeah.